and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org.
I'm here with Dr. Michael Amster and Jake Eagle, and we're talking about The Power of Awe, which is the title of the book that they have co-authored. Let's talk more about the benefits of awe. I know one of the benefits that I thought was very, very fine was the propensity to be pro-social. If we experience awe, as you said, it changes our perspective. It opens us up. This goes back to something that you quoted a Dutch historian, Rutger Bregman. He had said, I love this, that he said, we have an evolutionary superpower as human beings because he said it's the survival of the friendliest. So this is where it taps us into that superpower that we have to connect to one another. And boy, at this time, I think we really need this kind of connection right now. So any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think this is Jake. I think there's an interesting way to look at this, which is that when we experience awe, we go into a state that is one of timelessness. So just imagine you enter a state that's wordless and timeless. There's just this profound sense of expansion. And because of this sense of expansion, we become more generous. We tend to be more altruistic. We connect better with other people because we're more patient. And all of these qualities lead us into a more pro-social experience. We're better able to connect with other people, and other people desire to connect with us because they sense that our nervous system is calm, that we're present. And this is really something that I think we need so desperately at this time in our lives, where people are rushed and busy and interconnections have become as brief as texting one another. And everything feels hurried and rushed. But when we access a state of awe, we interrupt that cycle. We interrupt that experience of being overwhelmed. And that's part of why it has such a powerful effect in terms of connecting with other people or connecting with a sense of something beyond ourselves. So even if we're alone, and we had people in our study who were alone, people who were isolated, and yet they used the awe method to feel as if they were connected to something greater than themselves, which is very powerful.
Yeah, exactly. I'm thinking about an incident that you wrote about, and it was something that Jane Goodall, the person who has researched chimpanzees to a great extent, she was saying that there was a woman who was doing a study up in Alaska, an Inuit woman, and she became very, very depressed about what she was studying, about how the culture, the Inuit culture, was just being decimated. And she got so depressed that she became physically incapable of even writing. And that's when she went to an Inuit elder, who said, you need more awe in your life. Do you recall that story?
Yeah, I love that story. I think, Michael, you found that originally. Maybe you can talk a little more about that.
Yeah, it's from Jane Goodall's Book of Hope. We talk about this story in the section of our book around how one of the most powerful parts of the emotion of awe is that it decreases inflammation in the body. And as we learn more in medicine, inflammation is connected to pretty much all chronic illness, to heart disease, cancer, diabetes, autoimmune disease. And so the story was just a perfect example of when this woman, her name was Consolo in the story, is writing about this, and she's seeing about the devastation of her people. She develops debilitating chronic pain, nerve pain in her extremities, and can't write anymore. But then when she connects with that elder who says, you need to go back to finding awe and joy every day, which meant for her letting go of her grief. And so within weeks, and this, as the story goes, her pain was gone. And so it's a beautiful example of how when we're activating that sympathetic nervous system, that chronic fight or flight response where we don't feel safe, where we're under threat, how it changes our physiology. And what we believe one of the things that awe does is it creates that sense of safety where our nervous system, as well as our chemistry in our body, secretes the cytokines, that these intracellular communicators that give us a sense of safety. And awe actually was the only positive emotion. When they did blood levels and they looked at different positive emotions and then measured people's inflammatory cytokine blood levels, awe was the only one that actually lowers those inflammatory factors, which is just, you know, so as a medical doctor, and I think about like how powerful this emotion is and what it changes, how it changes our physiology, and where this can take us in terms of looking at medicine moving forward, and how important it is that people do need to feel safe. You know, you talked about that, like people have to feel safety. Unfortunately, a lot of the things in the medical system don't give people, the patients, a sense of safety. Hospitals often don't feel like the safest place for a lot of people. And so I think this methodology has a lot of tools that can be brought into the healthcare arena, which I'm really excited about. And we're actually going to be doing some further research on this.
Wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. And I'm also thinking in these days, there's so much going on. And if we are paying attention, I mean, there's the ongoing war in Ukraine, and there's the earthquakes in Syria and Turkey. And then there's here at home, mass shootings and train wrecks that are causing pollution and all sorts of things, and climate change, and there's a lot coming at us, and a lot of us are paying attention to that. But what I hear you saying, we also need to pay attention to bringing in something that is going to prevent us from becoming inflamed and paralyzed through some sort of debilitation with all this information coming in. Am I getting this correct?
Absolutely. And, you know, earlier you mentioned Viktor Frankl, and Viktor Frankl in his book gives examples of experiencing awe while in a concentration camp and suffering beyond what any of us can imagine. So I think it's important to understand that regardless of our life circumstances, except for those moments where we're, you know, the metaphor of being chased by a tiger, other than that, we can access awe. Even in the challenging moments of our lives, even during a tragedy, even during a war.
It's available. It's portable, in other words.
It's also a very unique emotion in that we can experience awe when we're unhappy or when we're lonely or when we're experiencing grief. It's a very unique emotion in the way that it can appear and disrupt other emotions temporarily. Again, it resets our nervous system. It's as if our, if you imagine the nervous system is a coil and it's coiled too tightly, a moment of awe relaxes the coil. It relaxes the tension from the system.
Michael, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to add, there's a quote, just one line from our book, with what Jake is talking about. We have a chapter where we talk about applying the awe method in times of strife in our lives. And we had many people in our studies, some that were suffering from cancer. Some people, you know, they had a lot of loss, grief. People were passing away from the pandemic. So we learned firsthand, seeing how much this methodology was really helping people. And so the one line I wanted to share is that we have the capacity to be in awe when experiencing difficult emotions gives us a great deal of influence over our suffering.
Oh, yeah. You have an extraordinary example of this. And that's a woman, I think her name was Jade, and she got hit by a truck. And so, I mean, really devastated. She's there on the pavement. Can you describe what she did? I was just like, oh my gosh, that was incredible.
Yeah, Jade had been practicing this method and was aware of different levels of consciousness. And you're absolutely right. She got run over by a truck. She was crossing the road with a friend. And when she was on the ground, she actually had the capacity to think, to ask herself, how do I want to deal with this? Do I want to lose my sense of self? Do I want to go into a state of trauma? Or can I bring my attention to the people who are trying to help me, to my concern for the person who was with me walking across the street? And she elicited a state of awe and compassion and inquiry that was really remarkable. And this is in the midst of what I would call a true trauma.
Exactly.
It really was an extraordinary story. It then goes on and she ends up in the hospital and she ends up basically going around trying to help other patients, taking care of other people,
right,
trying to encourage them to find the awe in their lives and in their circumstances.
Well, this takes me to those questions that you put out to us to intentionally change the level of consciousness that we might be in. And there were three questions, you know. Do you recall these questions? What state of consciousness am I in? That's the first question to ask ourselves. If we can stop just for a moment, as you say, to stop for just a moment and say, okay, where is my attention right now? To wait, what state of consciousness am I in? Is this where I want to be? And what state of consciousness do I want to be in? And for me, those three questions are really good questions.
And we've helped people by identifying three levels of consciousness that they can very easily recognize. The first one is safety, which is where we live most of the time, very preoccupied with all the things we need to do and taking care of business. And the second level is heart consciousness, which is being in a state of gratitude. And then the third level is what we call spacious consciousness, which normally is accessed through some kind of contemplative practice, but that takes time. And what we've done is we found a very remarkable shortcut to get into a state of spaciousness, and that's the awe method.
That's the awe method. I'm here with Dr. Michael Amster, and you just heard from Jake Eagle, and they are the authors of The Power of Awe. And if you want to know more about their work, you could go to the website, thepowerofawe.com. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. With physician Michael Amster and therapist Jake Eagle. And we're talking about The Power of Awe, which is the name of the book that they co-wrote. What is the difference, some might wonder, between gratitude and awe?
Well, gratitude, which occurs in this level of consciousness we call heart consciousness, is a state of deep appreciation and gratitude that we often arrive at by thinking about the things we're grateful for, right? So there's actually a bit of effort just recalling what it is that we're grateful for. When we use the awe method, we shift into spacious consciousness, which is where the words drop away. We're no longer labeling. We're no longer efforting. We're simply accessing a state and residing there. Like Michael likes to use the word marinating, that we're marinating in that experience. And so it's very different than busily thinking or trying to think about something we appreciate. The words drop away and the time drops away.
I have a question. Early on in this conversation, you talked about we bring to ourselves to help us get into this feeling of awe, something that has meaning for us or has beauty, something that we revere. It could be a memory or an object. Can we keep going back to the same memory or the same object, or does it lose its potency?
I would say not only does it not lose its potency, but it may become more potent. I have a particular memory that I often will go to if I just need something to take me to awe quickly. And it's a memory from many, many years ago when I was working, helping my parents put a new roof on their home. And my mother, who at the time was 75, was up there working on the roof with me. And it's just this delightful, charming memory I have of her. And anytime I go there, I have the same experience of awe.
Wonderful. And anything to add to that, Michael?
Well, one of the things that we know from our research is that the more times that we dose or microdose awe, the more benefit we have. So what we asked people to do in our research was just to practice 3 times a day, but we know people practice many more times a day. And then the more they did, the more benefit they had. And there's just something really beautiful about this practice that is that the less force, the less we try hard, and the more gentle and ease we come with our experience of awe, the more powerful the practice becomes. What we found when people struggle with developing this awe practice, it's because they're trying too hard. You know, you can't go to the edge of the Grand Canyon and force yourself to have a moment of awe. You don't go there and be like, I want to have awe now. I want to have awe now, right? You know, you just fully just arrive and you're like, wow, this is incredible. Well, this is the same thing with learning how to have awe in the ordinary, is that you just open up the field to be fully present with what is. And as Jake shared about his mom, you know, like I have wonderful memories of my grandmother, and it's something that just gets richer and richer. Every time I dose on that, I feel like there's more awe to be found. It's just peeling off these layers to be found of a deeper sense of awe and connection and a gratitude for my connection with her, but then all life on earth and just how powerful this practice is. To cultivate a deeper sense of connection and well-being for ourselves and for the planet.
And in awe, you can be taking, I think, like I don't live in with a lot of nature. It's, you know, I'm living in an apartment complex. And so what I've been trying to do since I've read this book is to, when I walk from my apartment to the mailbox, There's a little bit of nature there, and I'm trying to, like, notice something I hadn't noticed before. It might be small. It might be that little flower that's blooming right now, or it might be a tree that I really didn't notice before. Comment on that. I see you shaking your head.
Well, not only the things you just mentioned, but you could be in awe of your ability to walk.
That's for sure.
I mean, the things we take for granted, the remarkable capacities we have, we don't often stop and fully recognize. I'm also looking at you, and I see there's a photograph behind you on the wall. I can't make it out really clearly, but it could be a source of awe.
Oh, That's Michael and I with His Holiness, the Dalai Lama in Dharamsala. Thank you for noticing that. And that, oh, good. That is, there was an awesome moment. Yeah.
I believe it. Yes, I see it now. Yes.
Yeah.
But I love what you shared about this walk to the mailbox. And for me, one of my main awe moments of my day is when I walk my dog, and I walk to the same park every day, but I come with fresh eyes, with an openness, a receptivity to just find this new awe in everything that I come across. And it is beautiful to, like Jake said, you see something different in the tree you never saw before. And it's very ordinary, but it can be completely orgasmic and transformative, and to bring you into that state of connection to the universe or to consciousness or God, whatever words you want to use. You get a taste of that transcendence when you have a moment of awe.
You know, Michael, going back to your daughter and the water polo, I remember specifically when you were describing that in the writing, and how you took us to where you really brought yourself present. And there was a moment that you described about the reflection off of the water and the window and the light on the water. And that really got me, Michael, because it's like, it took me to a moment of being just with rippling water, of light on water. I mean, just that little thing is, whoa. Or I think, Michael, you also talked about being in the Grand Canyon at night, and there were lights. You turned on a flashlight or something, and suddenly you saw all of this insect life that was just right there, and you didn't even know was there before. It's like, this is what you're talking about. That's what I want our listeners to hear, that this is so available to us at any moment, even little things or big things. We can practice this. We really can. I'm excited about it. You can feel my excitement, because it does expand consciousness. It changes our perception of where we are and takes us into a bigger, more vast landscape of possibilities and love. Comments here.
Beautifully said.
Yeah, beautifully said. What I love of what you're sharing and what's happened to me, and maybe hopefully to your listeners, is I just had a moment of awe hearing your enthusiasm and your excitement. And awe is contagious. We know this. In a very good way, it's contagious. And so when we share our awe, when we cultivate our awe within ourselves and we share it with others, we elicit awe for other people. And the more that we share awe with each other, we change not only ourselves, but we change the world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how can we harm other humans when we're in awe of each other's differences and our different cultures and our foods and our way we dress and our languages and the way we talk about spirit or God and how beautiful each of this is? Like, how can we harm each other? How can we destroy this planet when we're in awe of the natural world? And, you know, how can we not be in awe of life itself every moment, every day, when, you know, just like you said, you just open up and there it is. Like, there's this an unlimited amount, as many stars as there are in the sky, which is infinite. We have free access to awe every day, really every moment, to cultivate and to share with others. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. And Jake, any moments that you can share with us that you have had that reminds us of the everyday possibility of being in awe?
Well, the way I go through my life is by making a distinction between what's in the foreground and the background. The foreground are, you know, all the things I need to do and get done, and any tension or conflict I have or issues I may have, all of that's in the foreground. But I try to remind myself that in the background is the beauty. And in the background is kindness. And in the background is love. And those are all sources of awe. And those are there all the time, regardless of what is in the foreground. And so I use the awe method to shift my attention from the foreground to the background. And it consistently brings me to a healthier, better place and a better way of relating with other people.
Yeah, we can notice where we are in just driving down the highway and having an awesome experience. I'm just in awe that we all get to drive together and we're all not crashing into one another. I mean, it's just like, oh my gosh, just that alone. I just want to thank you both for being with us today in this. It's been awesome for me. Thank you so much for being with us today. I've been speaking with Jake Eagle. He's a therapist, and he, along with physician Michael Amster, are the co-authors of The Power of Awe, Overcome Burnout and Anxiety, Ease Chronic Pain, Find Clarity and Purpose in Less Than 1 Minute. Okay, you know, you need to practice it every day. And if you want to know more about their work, please do go to their website, thepowerofawe.com, or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You've been listening to New Dimensions. This is program number 3784.
New Dimensions Radio has been making a difference on our planet since 1973, thanks to the generosity of our listeners. You too can help make a difference with a tax-deductible donation or membership. Please visit our website, newdimensions.org, and just click the donate button. You can also subscribe to our free weekly podcasts and find over 1,000 hours of audio dialogues in our searchable archive. New Dimensions is produced by New Dimensions Radio in Santa Rosa, California, USA. Our executive producer is Justine Willis-Toms. Our post-production editor is Lou Judson. For over 4 decades, New Dimensions has been producing weekly conversations at the leading edge. We sincerely thank all of you who have supported us by being members of Friends of New Dimensions, as well as members of our affiliate stations. My name is Dan Drayson. On behalf of everyone at New Dimensions, whose endeavors make this program possible, I'm wishing you well. New Dimensions Radio is an independent producer supported by listener contributions. To find out more about the program you've just heard, to subscribe to our free weekly newsletter and our New Dimensions and New Dimensions Cafe podcasts, and to access thousands of other programs in the New Dimensions archive, please visit our website, newdimensions.org. That's newdimensions.org, or call us at 707-468-5215. That's 707-468-5215. Please join us next time as we explore New Dimensions. New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. Each week, New Dimensions explores the social, political, scientific, environmental, and spiritual frontiers with some of today's foremost social innovators, thinkers, scientists, and creative artists.
Hello, I'm Ellen D. Davidson, author of Wild Path to the Sacred.
Are you interested in radio, community-based media? You can join CJSF 90.1. We're a volunteer-run community radio station, and we always have space for new volunteers to become programmers, review music, edit audio, and so much more. All the training is provided, and anyone can join. To volunteer, email our volunteer coordinator, Noel, at vol_4_CJSF@sfu.ca. Again, that's VOL_4_CJSF@sfu.ca. Or you can visit our website, cjsf.ca. It's CJSF 90.1, diverse, independent, and yours.
You're listening to CJSF.